Greetings to each one. I wasn't sure if this is the right time to come up or not. Amen. Welcome to each one here this morning. Beautiful, beautiful Lord's Day. Truly a blessing. Meet together after a week of labor and work and be able to lay aside those things and gather together with brothers and sisters. Worship the Lord together in song. Hear the Word of God. I've appreciated the children's lesson and the family verses and songs here. The emphasis to mothers today, it is what we call Mother's Day. And good for each one of us to remember our mothers. The children here, they probably, most of their mothers are here, but most of us older folks, our mothers are not here. But it's good for us to remember them today, pray for them, give them words of blessing and so forth. Can we stand together for prayer? Our Father in heaven, thank you this morning for giving us joy in the Lord. Thank you, Father, for giving us mothers. Mothers who loved us. Mothers who brought us to life. Mothers who bore us. Mothers who guided us and corrected us and led us in the right way. Thank you, Father, for giving us godly mothers. Now, Father, as we continue on in the service here, I pray for your grace. Thank you, Father, for each one here. Thank you for your word and song. Thank you for opening up the hearts, Lord, through singing and the blessing this morning. I pray that the hearts could just continue to be open and receive your word, guidance, direction, counsel, instruction from the Word of God. And Father, do teach us your will. And I ask you, Lord, to speak through me. I'm just the vessel in your hand. Speak to each one. Father, as you've heard the prayers of those who are here today, you've heard the desires of their heart, you know what they desire, Lord, I pray you would give them. Give them bread. Give bread to the hungry. Give drink to the thirsty today, Lord. And Lord, meet the needs of those who are crying out in their hearts. I pray, Father, somehow you would do a wonderful work of grace in our hearts this morning. I pray somehow you would move in a mighty way, Lord. But I realize that, Father, without your Spirit, all is vain unless the Spirit of God come down into our midst. And so, Father, we invite you. Preside over this meeting in every situation, every area. To Jesus Christ be the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. I thought I would continue to share today about womanhood and motherhood and so forth. I just write up here. I don't know if you can see that from the back. Womanhood. And I'm sure we always like to think of the godly women and so forth and all those examples, and that's right and that's good. But I'd like to put another few words up here that I feel are very important. As we look at womanhood today, there are generally two kinds of women. I would say there's two extremes in the area of womanhood today, and I think most of us are aware of that. But if you would allow me to, by God's grace, to just look at a little bit of that. But when I think of the two extremes of womanhood, if I could draw a line here between this end over here and a line over here to here, and if we would call this extreme end of womanhood, we would call this a virtuous woman. And then over here we would just simply call it an evil woman, maybe. And these two women are at extreme opposites of each other. Both of them are clearly depicted in the Bible, and we want to look a little bit at them. They're at these women today and lift up womanhood and lift up the godly womanhood, of course. That's our goal and desire. But sometimes in order to really appreciate what God has given us, it's good for us to look at the other extreme of women also. I was driving down the road on Friday and drove past this daycare center. And there's several women there, but there's a lot of little children there. Little toddlers and, you know, just that size of the little fenced-in playground there with all the slides and plastic toys. And the traffic was slow as we went past that place, and I was just watching that and just allowing myself to meditate on that daycare center there, and my heart was so grieved. Just the thought of where are the women? Just the thought of the woman, of the mother, who could go, rise up in the morning, dress her little baby, her child, 1 or 2 or 3 years old, or even younger, or older, and drop it off at the daycare center in the care of other people, and then go off to her business world, so to speak. Put in her 10 hours a day, and then come back in the evening and pick up her little son and daughter. That just grieved my heart. I thought about that. How could a mother do that? And I know that sometimes mothers are pressed. Maybe they don't have a husband. Maybe there's not a father there. And they must get out there and earn a living. I'm not against that. That's not what I'm speaking about. But I'm thinking of a family where there's a mother and a few children, and she's out there making her living, or the living, or the father maybe also. It just grieved my heart. But that really is where this nation is headed, is going to. As I think of the trends of the nation in this area of the family and the home, it just grieved my heart. I'm going to look a little bit at the evil women first here this morning, noticing some of the wording about them in the Bible. Turn to Proverbs. There is much that could be said, but let's just look at some of the traits or the characteristics of the evil women. They are called strange women or whorish. They're also called adulteresses and so forth. Proverbs chapter 5, in reading, "My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding." This is the Solomon exhorting his son to attend to his wisdom and to hear with his ear, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman droppeth in honeycomb, and her mouth is smooth in oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. When I think of the two extremes of these women, this is what could be worse than to have an evil woman living with you? What could be worse than having a woman who is contentious, a woman who is a brawling woman, speaking of in Proverbs, foolish women, and so forth? Her end is bitter as wormwood. And that is such a contrast compared to a wife, a woman who is a godly, virtuous woman. Are there any greater extremes in the world as to the effects that one has than the other? Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou should ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor to others, and thy years to the cruel. Let strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. Over in chapter 6, we can read some more in verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. The reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Do you love the way of life? Do you love the reproofs of instruction? And they are to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. The adulteress will hunt for the precious life. And then we see in chapter 7, we have another description here of a woman. Verse 6, for at the window of my house I look through my casement. And as I think of this scripture, as I read this scripture, I picture so clearly what it's like to live in the city. You just need to go down the city and just sit there on a curb somewhere or stand and observe the city life a little bit, and you will see exactly this thing happening. If you would be in the house there and you would look out through your lattice and look out through, peeping out through your windows and watching what's happening on the street, this is exactly what you would see happening. I behold among the simple ones, I discern among the youth, a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. This is the strange woman. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me this day. Have I paid my vows? Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. And she lured him into her bed. Verse 21, with her much fair speech she caused him to yield, with the flattering of her lips she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways, go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Very clear picture of an evil woman. Let's look at some more Proverbs here. Proverbs 12, verse 4. As I think of the value of a virtuous woman, and we know the scripture, it was already quoted here this morning, who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? And if I were to ask you what number, what price that I should put upon this woman out at this end, what would the figure be? What would the figure be? Is there a price? Can money buy that? There's no price there. You can't buy it. But it's far above rubies. And so the value of a virtuous woman is so very great. The Bible says it is far above rubies. Is there anything that the Bible describes that has more value than that of a virtuous woman besides the salvation of which Christ brought for us? Of course, that is also a price that cannot be paid for. But the thing that I believe is next to that in the Bible as described as very valuable is a virtuous woman. Amen. And I want to lift up the virtue of godly women today, if I can, by God's grace. Now, if we would say that the value of this woman over here is very, very high, okay, can't even put a dollar figure to it, may I say, then what is the value of this woman here? Zero? Well, if we put down zero here, for that value, is that where you would put that value? When I think of this verse here in Proverbs 12, verse 4, it says, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness to his bones. Now let me ask you again, what is her value? Huh? Nothing? What did I hear over here? Less than nothing. One of the most disappointing things to me is when, let's suppose I'm looking at doing a job, and maybe the job is an hour or 2 hours away, and before I go out to that job, I want to make sure that I have all of my necessary tools to do the job. And in our job, we use these DeWalt battery drills a lot, the screwdriver drills. They run by 18-volt battery, and they're very useful. And so before I go, I want to make sure that I have a DeWalt driver along, that's what we call them, and I have some good batteries. And so I grab one off the shelf, and yep, there's one in the box. I make sure it's in the box. I make sure I have batteries, and I put it in my truck, and I head down the road. I drive 2 hours to the job. And then when I get there, it's a tool that I have to have for this job. And when I get there, I find out that the tool does not work. That tool is worth more, is worth less than zero to me. Because I have trusted that it would help me. I look to that tool to be an asset to me. And when I went to use it, it was worse than nothing, because if it wouldn't have been there, I would have gotten something else, you see. But now I had it with me, and it was worse than as if it wouldn't have been there at all. It was, the value is very, very low, may I say. It's minus, you see. The value of that kind of a tool is less than zero. And when you look at an evil woman here, one that makes a shame is as rottenness to his bones, I would like to say her value is much below zero. Because she will not do him good, but she will do him evil. She will bring what? Rottenness to his bones. She will cause his bones to rot. She will cause him to faint. She will cause him to fall. She will cause him to stumble. She will cause him to sink in his heart and in his value. And he will be as nothing. He will actually die because of the rottenness that she is to him. Less than zero. And so, the value of a virtuous woman is no wonder that the writer says that her value is far above rubies. I think of my heart is just grieved again as I think of the results of this kind of a woman. One who abides not at home, who her feet abide not in the house. She's out there on the streets. She's out there. It's just, if you're at all familiar with the city life, you can see it very clearly. Being involved there, we see the effects of those things. And the children, sometimes maybe they're left at home with the television for their entertainment while the mother goes off to her parties and whatnot. Maybe she goes off to work. The children are told they have to stay in the house. They may not let anyone in. They can't unlock the door. And all they have all day long is television, hot dogs, and cereal. The outcome of all these things, I see there's such a trend in America today. I don't know if you've recognized it. The children in the schools, the public schools, are in such bad condition that many of them are on pharmaceutical drugs, prescription drugs, just so that they be kept calm at school. The number one is probably Ritalin. And there is so very many school children on Ritalin. Why? I want to say why. And as I evaluate the situation, I know. I believe it is because the mothers are missing in those children's lives. This nation is going downhill at a very rapid speed in this area of prescription drugs. Just think with me. Think back 30 or 50 years ago and the things that the doctor prescribed. When I was a small boy, what did the doctor prescribe for our medication? We didn't go there very often, but things are changing so fast. This nation is being run by the pharmaceutical companies. I don't know if you realize that or not. It is. In the dollar value of prescription drugs has doubled from 1989 to 1999 to the astounding sum of $100 billion in the U.S. The doctors are being trained to prescribe drugs. And that's what you get if you go to the doctor very, very often. The percentage of people that are on prescription drugs is right at about 40% today. 18% are taking at least one drug, and the other 20 or 22% are on two or more drugs every day. What's happening to this nation? What is going to happen to the next generation? There is a generation being raised that knows only to go to the doctor for prescription drugs, basically. What will the next generation be like? I can't imagine. But it's such a grief to my heart because the authority of our health has been given over to the government health plan. Where are the fathers and the mothers? I guess it's been such a burden on my heart about that issue that I would just encourage everyone here to just be careful with those type of drugs. And I know maybe some of us need them, but I would just say they're not the answer. They're not the answer. They basically cover up the situation and don't take care of the root problem. Oh, for godly, virtuous women. It has been said that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the nation. We could look at many of the women in the Bible, but let's just look a little bit at Eve. Some of those who were temptresses, those who tempted men. Eve was the first one, tempted Adam to eat and sin. I think also of Delilah. She was very powerful in her temptations to Samson so much so that he gave her his secret to his strength. And she took it away by having his hair cut. I think of Jezebel. She was a very wicked woman. She today is well known, or she's called, when we think of an evil woman, we often think of Jezebel. She's one who painted her lips, her face. She's one who painted up herself to attract and draw men to herself. And that is so wrong. That is so evil. But it shows what's in the heart. We think of Zeresh, who was Haman's wife, encouraged him to make a gallows to hang Mordecai on. Women who tempted men to the evil. I think of other proverbs which says it is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. And if I just give two pictures there, I think of a little corner up in our attic, way down under the eaves. It were better for me to stay there than to be living in a house, a very great, spacious house. You go out into some of these developments today, they have these very huge 4,000 square houses with just 20 rooms, big spacious rooms and a big living room, all these things. And who moves in there? A couple with one or two children and dogs and cats, you might say. But it's better to live in a little corner in the attic than in a house, than in a wide house with a brawling woman. There's contentious women. Proverbs speaks of that, a continual dropping in a very rainy day. And a contentious woman are alike. How could that be? A continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. There's something very there's something very disheartening and disappointing when your roof leaks continually. And you're in on a very rainy day, your roof is just leaking and there's just water drop down in your, wherever you're working, you know, it's just dripping on you. It says a contentious woman is just like that. But the next verse has some truth also. This is Proverbs 27, 15 and 16. Verse 16 says, whosoever hideth her, hideth the wind and the ointment of his right hand, which bewrayeth itself. Who would the person be that would be hiding a contentious woman? Would that be her, another woman, her close friend? Who would it be? It'd be her husband. He that hideth a contentious woman is like trying to hide the wind. You try to put the wind in a box and try to hide that, you can't do it. Or it's like having ointment in your hand, trying to hold ointment in your hand. You ever hold chocolate in your hand, children? You hold chocolate in your hand, what happens? It melts and it soon starts squeezing out all over your fingers. You can't hold it very long because it melts in your hand. Well, that's what he's saying. It's like ointment in the hand. If you try to hold ointment in your hand, it's going to bewray it, so it's going to run out of your hand. And that's what happens. That's the way it is if you try to hide a contentious woman. Why would we try to hide them? Because they're an embarrassment to us. We don't like that. Let's look a little bit at the virtuous women, the women on the other side of the spectrum. The virtuous woman, of course, we could turn to Proverbs 31. Let's read that. Some of it. Proverbs 31, we have another picture here. The word of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. It seems like his mother taught him this prophecy. Very beautiful words here. What, my son, and what, the son of my womb? And what, the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink to him that is ready to perish, and wine to those that be heavy of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb and the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. And then verse 10, to the end we have this beautiful description of a virtuous woman. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? And this is not just for the mothers today, it's for the women, womanhood, young girls. I trust that every one of you young girls has a desire to grow up, to be a godly, virtuous woman. Even the young girls can be taught. Even the young ones, they can have a vision of godliness and holiness. And I thank God for the testimony of many virtuous women here, mothers. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Sister, may I ask you that question? Does the heart of your husband safely trust in you? Is there no questions there? Does he safely trust in you in every area of life, especially in the area of faithfulness? She will do him good, all the good and not evil all the days of her life. It goes on and speaks of what she's like and what she does. And yes, she does go out. She does work and she labors and she earns. She prepares her food and she prepares her clothing. And she's a virtuous woman. And it says in verse 25, in verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom. In her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. The woman that, may I say, the kind of wife that the young men are looking for is one that feareth the Lord. One that fears the Lord. And what does it mean to fear the Lord? What does it mean to fear the Lord? What does it mean to have a wife that fears the Lord? What does it mean to have daughters that fear the Lord? What is the fear of the Lord? I put it this way, that if there is someone who fears the Lord, then their life is governed and guided by what God thinks about them and not about what others around them think about them. Is that right? And now, if we would say that this virtuous woman here is one that fears the Lord, and this one over here, the evil woman over here, is one that does not fear the Lord, is there anyone that's in between? Womanhood, two extremes, and those in between. Two extremes of womanhood, but what about those that are in between? Sisters, daughters, where are you at on that graph? Are you somewhere in between there? Many godly examples in the Bible, notable women of the Bible, I think of Miriam. I think of Deborah. I think of Ruth, Hannah, Abigail. I think of the Shunammite woman, Esther. I think of the Syrophoenician woman and Mary Magdalene, out of whom seven devils were driven, and from there on she followed Christ. We could read about Mary of Bethany. We could read of Elizabeth, wife of Zacharias in Luke. We could read of Mary, the mother of Jesus. We could read of Martha, the worried housekeeper. We could read of the woman evangelist in John chapter 4. You ever recognize that? This woman who came to the well to get that water. She went back and told all the people in the city about Jesus. She was an evangelist. Dorcas, who was a benevolent seamstress, and Lydia was a businesswoman. She was one that was there at the place of prayer, and God had opened up her heart, and she was willing to receive that which the apostles were teaching and preaching. Godly women. Let's turn to 2 Kings. I want to just get a glimpse of that. 2 Kings verse chapter 4. 2 Kings 4. The blessing of a godly woman here, a great woman. Verse 8, this is of Elisha. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. And she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. There was a woman with a vision of ministry. She ministered to Elijah in that way. And there's many examples of women in ministry. Think of when Jesus was on the cross, it says that many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him. You could read that two ways. You could read it that these women followed Jesus, ministering to him as he went. I believe that they did this. But here it can also be read that they were standing afar off, ministering to him, even while he was on the cross. I don't know what they were doing, but there's such a ministry that you and I can have in many different ways of just having a heart that goes out ministering. I think the youth singing, that could be such a ministry of just singing, blessing. I don't know what they were doing there, but it says they were ministering to him. Those women were there, and among them was Mary Magdalene, the one that had seven devils driven out of her. And Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. Other women with ministries there, the one that came there in the house of Bethany, the house of Simon the leper, with a box of ointment, and ministered to Jesus there, washing his feet. The picture of that one in Luke, where she came, one that was known to be a sinner, and came and stood behind him and wept and washed his feet. Others serving the church and so forth, serving with Paul and Barnabas and so forth, many of them were ministers of the work of God. And so a virtuous woman has such an opportunity. She has such a place of effectiveness in the men's lives. I looked up the word mother, and it's a short word, E-M or E-M-A, Maybe that's where we get our word dame or madame. But there was one thing that was strange to me. At the bottom it said, parting or parting ways. How could mother mean parting ways? But the illustration there, it goes on and says that a mother is one the picture is one that, may I say, brings to birth and sends the children out. It's like sometimes we talk of the mother church, meaning the one where it's the beginning, and other churches from that, where there's a parting from the mother church. That's just the other picture of that there. Women have such an opportunity of being walking in fear of God and being such a blessing in every area to their husbands, their families, their children, and they also have such great opportunities of the other side bringing evil upon their family, their children, and so forth. Much more could be said about that. A gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. In favor is deceitful, but beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. I wonder if we as husbands are grateful enough. Are we grateful for our wives, their godliness, the fear of the Lord that they have, the blessing they are? It is with joy as we watch our young ones growing up. And especially I wonder if you sisters realize how much we appreciate your godliness, your modesty of dress and so forth. Even you young girls, it's such a joy to see the young ones. I see them growing up, they come to the age of sometimes 10, 11, 12, 13, and I see such a purity on their faces. It's such a joy. And then to see one of those come to the Lord and they have such a sincere desire to just be wholehearted for God. And at a young age, it's so sweet. And then we see that sweet sincerity there as a young girl. They kind of grow older and they go through a time of struggle. Many times we watch that. There's that influence of their friends. There's influence of those around them. But a woman that fears the Lord is influenced by the Spirit of God, not by the styles or the fads or the fashions around her.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. If you would like to listen to part 2 of this message, please press 4 now. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.